Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We are trying to reach our guest today, Carol Roth, and as soon as we're able to get a hold of her, then we will be bringing her on air. We were going to be talking about her wonderful book called The Entrepreneur Equation, and it's absolutely awesome. So for those of you that are interested in going into business for yourself, we are going to be having someone on the air with us that is absolutely dynamic. I wanted to start off the show today, since we do not have Carol with us right at the top of the hour. This show is always about personally empowering people, and I think sometimes it's good to get feedback from other people and also their bits of wisdom that have enabled them to go through life with a sense of purpose and value. One of those individuals is Beverly Schwartz, and she's a behavioral scientist. She has a very interesting background. She's also involved in social marketing. And she says you can do things to change social behaviors. And she had an interview that was done by an individual where she said for her to get through the ups and downs of life, she said she absolutely insists on having at least one good laugh a day. And she said that laugh has to come up from inside of me, be audible primarily to me. She finds that laughing inwardly at small things that most people might find sort of commonplace makes her feel like she and the universe are playing with each other and sharing secrets. She enjoys having the ability to laugh with herself. She says it keeps me light, authentic, and empathetic. And it makes her feel that as long as there are people around her and she has laughter, she has life. She said sometimes when I have to deal with sadness or witness life's cruelty to others, laughter keeps her going. She said, laughter keeps me whole. Laughter makes me feel that the world can, at one day at a time, take care of itself and eventually be healed of the distortions that so often occur in life. And I really think her wisdom is very important. As we're starting off this week and we just have this absolutely fabulous experience of life that we're living right at this moment, I think having a good sense of who you are really makes a difference and makes our lives not just interesting, but also very worthwhile. Now, since we've not been able to reach Carol, I am going to open up the phone lines, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me during this time, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And again, we're waiting for Carol Roth, who has written the book, The Entrepreneur Equation. There is so much that goes on in life, and our world is becoming so very, very much smaller. Of course, a lot of things are disappearing. Earlier in the day, I was watching a program where someone was traveling into parts of the world that, my goodness, 50 years ago were not easily accessible. One of those places is Tibet. That is up in the high Himalayas. It's a fascinating culture. They have an awesome history. But what is even more amazing is how the people are adapting to the changes in the world as they are evolving, including the use of cell phones, and yet managing to keep a touch with their own personal culture, especially through their foods and through their interactions with other people. And if you look at history, cultures often have gone through all kinds of adaptations and judgments that have changed that when we look at what we're evolving through right now today, because of the use of technology, we are able to interact just about any point on this planet, especially if we have satellite connections. Can that be affected? Most certainly. But there's a lot of people that are traveling into places communicating instantaneously via videos on Skype or other methods and that are just absolutely phenomenal. We are getting information that, my goodness, would have taken weeks, months, and if you go back far enough, even years to be able to find out about. It's absolutely amazing. So we live, I think, in an extremely interesting time of life. And I invite you to share or to involve yourself with the opportunity to let me share with you my insights that I might perceive about you at 888-815-9756. So many times We need help. We need to be able to make, as I said, adaptations, and I've got some wonderful stories to share with you today regarding that. But I thought when I was talking about technology that I'd share a few things with you that maybe you are aware of and maybe not. Just a few computer tips that were tossed my way that I thought I'd pass along to you. One of the tips is you've posted something on Facebook or another fact of social media, perhaps, and you know you don't want to keep it up there. It has gotten to a point that law enforcement agencies are checking Facebook regularly. There are new teams of people for security purposes that will know anything and everything that you might put online. So if you've put something on that you really want to get off, you can fix it. And this is what you have to do, especially with Facebook. So all you have to do is move your cursor so it hovers over your post, and an X will appear on the right side. Click on it, and when you see a message saying remove post, click on that, and it will be gone. Now, what if someone posts a photo of you you don't like? Maybe they make up a photo. This has come about. People try all kinds of things. It's just the nature of the human. When you can't remove the picture, you can detag yourself so your name will not be associated with it. Next to your name under the photo should be the option remove tag. Click on it, and your name will be gone. Now, let's say you have deleted a file or a photo from your computer. No file is gone for good. Apparently, there is a gentleman who is the president of a consulting firm in Canada. And Lawrence says, if you do something like this, remember, all of your delete goes into your computer's recycle or trash bin, where they remain until you specifically empty that bin. So you might want to just check your recycle bin on your computer and look for the file you deleted, click on it, select undelete or restore, and you'll get it right back. So that's good to know. Also, if you are in a membership with a group or an organization and you say, I cannot do this on my budget anymore, and you're really concerned, it's easy to fix. If it's over $25, was made at your homework or a place temporarily rented by a seller under the Federal Trade Commission's cooling off rule, you have 3 days to cancel for a full refund. Get details at, and this is a long, long, long website, ftc.gov/bcp/edu/pubs/consumer/products/pro03.shtm. And you can find out from your own state's Consumer Protection Agency to see if you can work with this as well. Now, I'll tell you what, if you've gotten a plane ticket, we're into the season where people are traveling and you've changed your mind. Airlines apparently, from the resource that gave me this information, won't advertise that they usually will give you a full refund without any fees if you cancel within 24 hours of your purchase. Now, it used to be you could hold a reservation for that long before deciding to buy. However, a lot of the airlines have removed their hold option, so it usually forces you to complete a purchase to guarantee a seat. However, you usually can cancel by going online and using your confirmation number, or better yet, talking with someone in customer service, and I'm sure they'll be able to work with you. Life in the fast lane, that's what we have to deal with on a regular basis. And again, if you want to give me a call, we have not been able to reach Carol Roth, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call. Well, there are so many different things that I would like to share with you today, but before I go any further, I want to finish giving out the last of the astrological summer horoscopes. We've covered all of them in the zodiac, excepting for Aquarius and Pisces. So I wanted to give that out today. And that'll be finishing up our generic astrological forecast for the summer. For those of you born under the sign of Aquarius, you are going to find there's a lot of love in the air. That's right. Wonderful relationships are possible for you on so many different levels. And if you are interested in real estate, you've really got a buyer's market at this time, and you might be able to find that there's a way for you to work with your money so you can acquire assets that will work for you. But do your homework before you do it. But this is a time when you're really wanting to take that bit of cash that you've got and you say, I want to make it work for me. This is the year it's going to happen. When it comes to working with money, you're going to find that you have really got your thinking cap on. This is the year when you're really looking at your budget, how you want to make things work, and also planning for the future. Doomsdayer, you're not. Those of you under the sign of Aquarius feel that this is a year, regardless of what's been going on, that you're going to be able to make things work for you in a very, very special way. Now, when it comes to traveling, for those of you under the sign of Aquarius, you're going to find that you have a lot of options. So it'll be up to you how much you want to spend and where it is that you want to go. You're a good negotiator, and you're always going to be finding the best deals available. For those of you born under the sign of Pisces, well, you are really going to be very committed to the relationships in your life. It's as if you're going to be writing thank you notes to friends and those that you really appreciate having given you good service, and this is going to pay off for you big time. Your thoughtfulness and your openness in communication with people is really going to pay off big time on very much every level of your life. When it comes to money and career, well, you're going to find that your effort, your hard work, your concentration, your discipline, your focus, all of this is going to help you to become recognized, and you have a wonderful opportunity for promotion. If you're thinking of going into business for yourself, don't let the emotions rule you. You want to make sure that you have your facts in order before you set up shop. And then last but not least, for those of you under the sign of Pisces, you're going to find travel. Well, you're going to want to be sure that you have the right kind of stuff to take with you, meaning a laptop or a handheld unit that's going to enable you to keep in touch with whatever it is you need to keep in touch with. You're going to find that that is an investment for you. Technology is going to be a very good asset for you, and if you pay attention to what's going on, you're not going to be missing the opportunities to make more money. So that is what I'm looking at for the final aspect of the zodiac. So I wanted to get those couple of things out of the way. Donna Sebo here. We've not been able to reach Carol Roth. So it is open lines. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. People go through various situations, handling it in the best way that they possibly can. Sometimes when you look at persons that have been recognized in history for their exceptional dedication, perseverance, and deep, deep love for what they do, it really is very moving. Mother Teresa is a woman that people had such a feeling about. She was a woman that lived in dire circumstances, and yet in those circumstances was able to make life a rich experience for those that she took care of. We all are aware of how she worked with the poor in India, traveled around the world raising funds, and the awareness of how important it is for us to be alert, attentive, and to recognize that there are those that are less fortunate and that there are ways that we can help and assist. And, of course, she dedicated her life to doing that. But there was a man by the name of Father Damien. We're going to be traveling back to the 1800s, 1873, in fact. And he would say, to begin is nothing, the hard thing is to persevere. Now, Father Damien decided that he was going to work with lepers. Now, we now know how to deal with leprosy and how to bring relief, if not healing, to those people that have this severe affection. It was called Hansen's disease, and for centuries, it was a hideous plague that would hit people, rich or poor, didn't make any difference, and confine them to an environment of exile and suffering. It was just horrific. Well, he decided, because at that time they didn't have a cure, that he was going to work with them. Now, this was a Hawaiian island that he decided to go to, Molokai. And I'm sure you've heard that before, heard of Molokai. Now, the Hawaiian king at the time would send the lepers to Molokai, and they could never leave the island. The island had its own natural barriers. The sea was on two sides, and a lava cliff, 1,600 feet high, kept these people away from the rest of the island. Now, it was absolutely gorgeous there. The priest was Belgian, but when he arrived at the lepers' camp, there were 700 people in the colony, and their conditions were just appalling. Not enough food or water, absolutely no sanitation. It was vile. The majority of these people stayed drunk. How did they do it? Well, it was an alcoholic brew made from the roots of the Thai plant. And they were always fighting. Life was miserable. Many of them had become so bitter, so callous, that they would ignore the pleas of the fellow lepers who could no longer move about. And many of them who died would be tossed into ravines to be scavenged by wild hogs. Not a pretty picture at all. Well, he decided that he was really going to be involved with these people. It was a challenging environment to step into. He was healthy. They were not. But not only was he healthy and a priest, he also was a skilled carpenter and builder. And he decided immediately that he was going to start improving the environment of these poor people. He went to the Board of Health in Honolulu, convinced them to send him tools and construction materials, which they did. And the first thing that he did was fence in the graveyard and started building coffins because he felt these people needed to feel like they would be respected, something that Mother Teresa did too. He also was appalled by the physical condition of those people that were suffering so much. He said those in the advanced stage of the illness were covered with all kinds of tumors, sores. They suffered from gangrene, lost parts of their face, their fingers, hands, arms, toes, or legs. It's hard for us to even relate to that today in our world. But it was a very real condition, and it wasn't that all that long ago. He said, lots of times in fulfilling my duties at the lepers' homes, he said, I've been obliged not only to close my nostrils because the stench was so bad, but I had to stay outside to breathe fresh air. However, what Father Damien did, he overcame his fear of the physical contact with lepers, because he said, I couldn't treat them as untouchables. If I did, I could never reach their hearts. He began sharing meals. He'd embrace them. He would give them communion and clean their wounds. Now, he spent 16 years in this kind of a lifestyle. Those that were able to help him did so. During those 16 years, he built 375 structures. He built cottages. They ended up having nice gardens. Built a school, everything from a school to a general store. He built a docking facility and a road between two villages that the lepers had. He organized a band, had community celebrations. Well, in 1884, he noticed that he himself had contracted leprosy. And in April 1889, he died at the age of 49. Father Damien, in that short period of time, of just 16 years, not only did he walk the walk, but he also communicated with as many people as he possibly could about the disease. What ended up happening is that there was a global campaign to find a cure for leprosy, as well as people becoming aware of the needs of this community in Molokai. The greatest gift, they said, that Father Damien gave to these people was the gift of human dignity. It's a powerful story. It's a story of fortitude, strength, and commitment. And this is something we need to remember. There are all kinds of things in life that need to be taken care of. We have our own families. We have our environments that we live in. And we can always choose, just like Father Damien did, where it is we want to put our efforts. Now, you may not want to do something in a physical sense with maybe being involved with medicine or something of this nature as Father Damien did or as Mother Teresa did. That's not a requirement. What is important is that you do for yourself what you know you need to do. And in following through what is best for you, you are going to make a contribution that is going to make a difference in the lives of other people. So maybe you'd like to do reading in a library. Maybe you would like to be involved in landscaping. Whatever it is that is of meaning to you, that you really have a love for, by golly, there is a place for you on this planet where you can make a difference in the lives of other people. Well, Carol Roth is not with us today at this point, so we have still open lines, and we are going to keep them open now for the remaining part of the hour. You can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, have you ever paid attention to your fingerprints? Well, maybe you've never been fingerprinted, but it's something that reveals a lot about an individual. And it's a real art, and it doesn't have to be used just to find criminals, but it can give you an inside track to yourself, what it is that you do, and how you do it. Now, here are some small points. I got just about 4 points of information that I can share with you that I think you might find interesting. And if you want, take and put your hand on a printer and let it print out a palm print. You can look at what's on your finger, or under a strong light, you can look at the patternings on your finger. Arches, swirls, loops, all of these things. What do they tell you? Well, everyone's fingerprint is very unique to who they are. We've all heard about stories about criminals that tried to burn them off and do all kinds of things. But they really do tell a story about you. So here are just a few points. If you have two or more arches in your fingerprint, you're in the school of peace as well as panic. You have a wonderful capacity to, through whatever process you might use, attain a deep sense of inner peace within yourself. You really like balance between your work and play, and you don't like a lot of worry and or tension. So for you, meditation, 5 minutes a day, or however you'd like to experience it, really is an ace for you. It can help you achieve the peace that you want to achieve. Now, what if you've got two or more tented arches? Now, what is a tented arch? It's characterized by ridges that point up in the middle, indicating tremendous wisdom. Now, this is very rare. If you see this in your fingerprint, you need to know that what you learn and what you have a passion for, you need to be out and about doing. You need to be experiencing the world. You need to be able to live what you know and what you understand. So it's not just talking or reading stuff out of books. It's actually being out there and participating in life. Now, what if you have whorls and you have four or more of them? And it's just like things going around in a circular. Circular whorl patterns means that you are a person that's oriented towards service. And there's a gentleman by the name of Richard Unger. He said he's found in his research with people, because he's involved with studying the fingertips and the palms, he said when you have those whorls, it really is very important to you that you are involved in an area of work or hobby, something that allows you to feel like you're giving back to life. And you will achieve if you do more for yourself. He says it's very important that you balance your needs with those of your loved ones by cultivating your own talents. And you need to remember that you can be first. It's all right. Because when you give to yourself, then you're able to give to other people as well. Also, if you're eight or more loops, you're in the school of love. Yes, that's exactly where you are. You lead with your emotions. And sometimes you're very concerned about hurting other people's feelings. And it's important for you to realize that you have to be honest. You can be diplomatic, but you need to be able to speak your own truth as you understand it. And that's a learned skill. But feeling and loving and being in life and being able to share that with many, many other people is very important to you. So just a few tidbits there. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for just a moment. Telephone lines are open. Give me a call at 888-815-9756. 9756. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, hey, you just sit back and relax. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. We're going to be having Carol on, I'm sure, on another date, but what I wanted to do was share something about a woman. Her name is Muriel Siebert, and this is a woman who really became absolutely amazingly knowledgeable about money. And since we were going to be focusing on that, and it hasn't happened for one reason or another, I wanted to share this with you because I thought it's important. We need to understand that the attitudes about money can vary. How you value it, how you're going to use it, can vary. So when you can find out about someone who was able to become knowledgeable and ended up being the only woman that was on the New York Stock Exchange, well, I'll tell you what, it's a story worth listening to. Now, Muriel Siebert, she was born and raised in Ohio. She ended up moving to New York. And when she moved to New York, she was not able to get in at all to the New York Stock Exchange. She said, it's only in the U.S. of A. that the opportunity would have even opened up as it did for her. And she said, my parents gave me a lot of good, solid background when I was growing up. And she said, as a kid, I saw what it was like to have money, and then I also had the experience with my family where we lost everything. So she said there was an opportunity for her to go to New York City, and she visited the stock exchange, and she just was mesmerized by the whole happening. She said the energy and excitement on the floor was just absolutely awesome. So when she graduated from high school, she decided she was going to college for 2.5 years, and then she was going to move to New York. She had thought she might want to work at the United Nations, but she didn't speak more than one language, so consequently she couldn't qualify. Well, she got a job as a trainee in a research department of a particular brokerage firm, and she said, all I was doing when I started out was being a runner for the senior analyst. And she said, in doing that, she learned a lot about stock analysis and why certain companies were attractive to investors. I had to chuckle because part of her story was how thrilled she was when she got a $5 a week raise because that meant she could spend 20 cents more on her lunch. This is a woman that really made money work, even at a young age. So she was immersed in the environment that she really wanted to become skilled and knowledgeable about. So she started focusing on an industry. As it turned out, it was an airline industry she started focusing on, became very knowledgeable about that. And she said she switched different firms 4 or 5 times in 10 years and worked her way up in positioning. She said her firm was making a lot of money, but she said, you know what, as a woman, I wasn't making anything. I was making so much less than my male counterparts. She said, I really got angry about the differential between a male having a position and a female. And she decided she was going to buy a seat on the stock exchange. Now, at the time she decided she was going to do this, she was just stunned that this was a suggestion made by a gentleman whose name was Jerry. He said, if you want to make the money that your male colleagues are making, this is what you're going to have to do. And she said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no, don't be silly. Go and buy a seat on the stock exchange and go to work for yourself. She thought he was really out of line. No women were on the stock exchange. Well, he said he didn't think there was a law against a woman owning a seat on the stock exchange. He said, just because nobody else has done it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Well, she decided she was going to find out about the Constitution. Yes, there is a Constitution for the stock exchange. And she confirmed that he was right, that a woman should be able to buy a seat. She said, that's in theory. She said, in real life, it was a lot more complicated, and it wasn't easy. The stock exchange wanted a letter from her bank saying if they accepted a bid card from her, that the bank would give me a loan. And then the bank said, well, for them to get her a loan, she'd have to have the seat. Get the picture? A lot of bantering back and forth. So she was really in an unusual situation. So she happened to know somebody at this particular bank and said, well, I guess I'm not going to have this opportunity because one says this, the other one says that, and there's no way for me to make them both work. He said, give me a minute. He said, we'll give you the loan. She found that a very special man, David Rockefeller, had signed loan application. She said that it was so unusual that when it got to David Rockefeller, he said, whoa, anybody that's going to do this, any woman, will support her. She got the seat. Now, this was the challenge. She bought the seat at the stock exchange. No one was going to bail her out if she failed. And she said she wasn't the only one that was going to suffer if she didn't make it because she was supporting her mom at the time. And she said, I just couldn't go backwards. I couldn't go back to being what I'd been before. Well, she worked really hard. She made a go of it. And she said it wasn't fun because there were a lot of men that were very unhappy that a woman had entered the male-only environment. But by golly, she could make equal money. There was absolutely no discrimination regarding how she would be paid. Now, her only employee at the time was a male secretary. 2 years after she got the positioning, she added two partners and ended up not only having a seat at Wall Street, but opening up a brokerage that carried her name, Merrill Siebert & Company. So she said, lots of things started happening. There were major changes in the law, And they ended up becoming a discount commission house. And then she was on the front page of Wall Street. The very next day after she became a commission house, she said, "My company thrived." She ended up being appointed the superintendent of banks in 1977 for the state of New York. And the governor, who was Governor Carey, said that he had made promises during his campaign to hire more women. And he talked to someone. They said, "If you want to do that, hire Mickey Siebert. That's the woman. This is what she's done." And she said, "You know what? I hadn't even supported him politically." So she really stepped up to every opportunity that came her way. She had a seat on the stock exchange for about 9 years, accepted the governor's appointment, and then her mother passed away. She went into a 5-year period where it was very difficult for her, but she did the work that was needed to be done. She ended up retiring from her positioning as superintendent. She had made a big impact on the lives of many people in a very positive way. One of the statements that she made, and she's a very accomplished woman, she said, "I'd rather have broader knowledge than more money." She said, "I'm happy to see that women have made remarkable gains as entrepreneurs, and there's more women today starting businesses now than men. And many of them have gone into businesses that have not been considered traditional. They've gone into the world's male businesses, and by golly, they're doing well." She said, "Whenever I'm advising those individuals that want to be entrepreneurs, I always tell them to consider the best and worst case scenarios for starting their own business. If they can't handle the worst that possibly could happen, then they probably should not be an entrepreneur." She said, "I can say that because I've experienced both the best and the worst that were thrown at me, and I've been much richer for it." She said, "Now, on the 40th anniversary of my election to membership of the New York Stock Exchange, I rang the closing bell to celebrate. I wear an American flag ring as a reminder that it's only in America where I could have had the chance to pursue my dreams. I couldn't have done this anywhere else. We're very lucky here in the United States. We are really very lucky." And I agree with that. I don't know that shows like we have here on BBS would even be possible in other countries in the world. I don't think so. But here in America, we have that possibility and that opportunity if we're willing to do it. Muriel Siebert is known as the first woman of finance. She is still supporting and encouraging people, and she's been made a member of the National Women's Hall of Fame, inducted into the Junior Achievement U.S. Business Hall of Fame, and has received 18 honorary doctorate degrees. Always good to know about people that have walked the road of experience before you. They're inspirational, they're usually very honest, and they have something absolutely phenomenal to share. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back, I have a recipe for chocolate. Yes, one of the best foods on the planet. Also, I'll be talking about Sasquatch. I've got a fascinating story about that lovely critter. And a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So give me a call. Also, if you're interested in chatting and letting me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. And give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Have you ever wondered if writing on bathroom walls is something that has always been prevalent? Well, apparently so. I have always found it fascinating that in certain locales, and I think of a Catholic church down in, it's not San Juan Capistrano, but it's near Santa Barbara. And I'll never forget walking into the ladies' room there, and they had blackboards inside the bathroom. They'd say, don't write on the walls, write on these. And do you know what? People paid attention. They didn't write on the walls or in the bathroom in anywhere. They wrote on those blackboards, and they provided the chalk, everything. But it really is interesting. How many of you have gone into public facilities, and you'll find all kinds of graffiti, drawings, and all kinds of stuff on the wall? Well, this is nothing new. They have found walls that are well over 2,000 years of age that have had invitations on them. They didn't have email. Boasts and obscenities. Nothing new about this. Human beings have been doing this for a long, long time. One of the most famous ones is the excavated walls of ancient Pompeii. Now, they were buried in ash in A.D. 79. And there's all kinds of well, let's say quite graphic statements of a sexual nature that's been on the walls. But they said, hey, people are just carrying on the tradition. This is just something that human beings, if they had the written language, this is what they did. And in Peoria, no less than in Pompeii, the tradition has been more men do this and adolescents than anybody else. And they say it is just one of these things that people do. So if when you see it, you go, oh my goodness, who would do this? Just understand, it's been going on for a long, long time. Okay, I have a recipe for chocolate. And one of these, this recipe that I have here is for a baked Alaska. I will never forget the first time I actually saw a for real baked Alaska. I was on a cruise ship, and of course on a cruise ship they just have these awesome meals. Well, one evening, part of the dessert opportunity that you could experience was flaming baked Alaska. And I'm not exaggerating. There had to have been about 30 waiters that came out with these huge baked Alaskas, and they were all blazing with light. It was just an amazing experience to have. Well, this one is not going to be blazing with light, and it's not going to have strawberry ice cream in it. No, it's going to have chocolate. That's right. I promised you a chocolate recipe. Now, this is really quite an easy one. It is something that you can do, and boy, I'm telling you, your friends will just go gaga over this. Now, this is what you need in the way of ingredients. 2 eggs, 4 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 6 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, and go with quality cocoa. Don't go with the cheap stuff. Get good cocoa. 3 egg whites, 2/3 a cup of super fine sugar, 4.5 cups of good quality chocolate ice cream. And again, get the good stuff. Get the best chocolate ice cream you possibly can. Now, this is how simple it is. All you need to do is have a 7-inch round cake pan. You line the base of the cake pan with baking parchment. Then, step number 2, you're going to beat the egg and the superfine sugar in a mixing bowl until it's very thick and pale. You sift your flour and unsweetened cocoa together and carefully fold into your egg mixture. Now, what is this doing? You're going to be making effectively something like a sponge cake. But it's not that light. It's a little bit denser than that. You're going to pour the batter into the prepared pan, and you bake it in a preheated oven, which is 425 degrees for only 7 minutes. It'll cook that quickly. Then you transfer the cake to a wire rack, and you just let it cool. In the interim, while that's cooling, you're going to beat your egg whites in a grease-free bowl until they're in soft peaks. You lift your beaters up, and those peaks will just stay so nicely. You gradually add your sugar, beating until you have a thick, glossy meringue. Then you take the sponge cake that you have made, put it on a cookie sheet, and you pile your ice cream into the center, and you put it into a dome-like structure. So a handy way to scoop your ice cream is to take an ice cream scoop and gently, because it's already going to be curved, and don't make a, it's like making a half ball of ice cream, and you just stack it around on the top of the cake until you have that nice rounded layer of chocolate ice cream. And then what you want to do, you can pipe or spread the meringue over the ice cream, making sure that the ice cream is completely enclosed. Now, if you're preparing this for company, you're going to want to freeze your dessert right at this point. If you are going to want to serve it right away, if you have everything assembled, everything's ready to go, and you can do it at the last minute and then serve it, what you're going to do after you put the ice cream on, covering it with the meringue, you return it to the oven, 425 degrees, until the meringue is just golden, and then you serve it. So if you freeze it, you take it out, I would say just let it sit, because your oven is going to have to heat up. If you're going to freeze it, once you've got the meringue on it, that's wonderful. Make sure you've got it in a container that protects the dome. And then you go ahead, let it sit at room temperature for just a few minutes while your oven is heating up. Put it back in there. The meringue will be brown, and oh, it's a golden brown. And it just is going to be delicious. Now, you can do all kinds of different things. If you don't like chocolate ice cream, you could substitute another. But I think this makes a delicious, delicious dessert. And wow, people will just, like I say, they'll go gaga. And it's got those wonderful textures, the wonderful lightness of the meringue with the chocolate ice cream and that delicious cake. Ooh, just yum, yum, yum. And of course, you know it doesn't have any calories, right? Right. That's the way it goes. All right, I was going to share a story with you about Sasquatch. And give me a call if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Sasquatch, the creature that people love to make shows about. And there have been so many films through the years that have been done on this. And I'll have to share something with you that I learned about Sasquatch a long time ago. And it was through a Tibetan Lama's writings. And the story is that in the hills, or in the mountains, not the hills, but the mountains of the Himalayas, Sasquatch has been known for a long, long time. It's been going on for centuries. And they have a great deal of thoughtfulness about these creatures, but they don't talk too much about them. But they are very much a part of the cultural lore of those people. Well, in 1924, this is a story about a man named Osman, and it is documented. He didn't talk about his experience for 25 years, but finally he came out with it. Well, this is what his story was. He was in British Columbia on the coastline, and Albert Ostman was a gentleman who was kidnapped from the camp he was in by a family of Sasquatch. He had been looking for a gold mine, and he noticed that when he was away from camp, the camp area was being disturbed. Food was being taken. So when he noticed this patterning, what's the first thing you'd think of? Think somebody might be trying to get it to your claim, right? Might think it's animals in the beginning, but maybe he saw footprints, he saw something there, and he said, mm-mm-mm-mm. So he started sleeping with his rifle in his sleeping bag at bedtime. And one night while he was sleeping, he was lifted onto a Sasquatch shoulder and carried into a small mountain valley. It was many hours after his abduction. He said he found himself surrounded by a family of giants. He said they were covered with hair, and he said they didn't have any clothes. The four Sasquatch that were there with him had fingernails like chisels, and he said their ears were hidden behind hair that was six inches long. Now, there were females, yes, males and females. The mother was over 7 feet tall, and the father, that's how he described them, was closer to eight. And he said he had very long eye teeth, but they weren't long enough to be called tusks. There was a younger male and even a younger female in the group. And he said they were vegetarians. They weren't eating meat at all, to the best of his awareness. They were eating plant life. And he said he was with them for about 6 days. They held him captive, but then he decided he was going to escape. Now, when they had abducted him, he had been wearing a pouch, and he gave them some snuff. That's what he had had in his pouch. It made them very, very sick. Now, when they had picked him up, they had picked him up in his sleeping bag, if you will, and that had his rifle. So he shot his rifle into the air. And he said when they were distracted, he fled. So this is a man who kept his story quiet for 25 years. But there was another story, again in British Columbia, and this was in 1928. And the trapper, whose name was Muchalot Harry, they took him out of his sleeping bag. And then he said he was put down on the ground, and there were 20 of the Sasquatch that examined him. And they couldn't figure out why he was wearing clothes. But eventually he said they grew tired of him, and he just dashed away. So he said he ended up escaping, and because of the experience, his hair turned completely white. He never, ever went back into the forest after that. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I know we are out of time, and I'm just so grateful we were able to share this time together. Tomorrow, we're going to have as a guest Donald Vanderhart, the good among the great. I'm so glad that you're able to be with me. I hope you can be with me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.